Let's turn to Luke chapter number 19. We're going to read a familiar passage of Scripture, verses 1 down through verse number 10. And it's in my heart to preach this week on one word, springing off of one word, and it is the word little, L-I-T-T-L-E. And I would say in the beginning that if you can embrace and if you can relate to the little that God has in your life, He'll take care of the big. Amen. If you can embrace and relate to the little, He'll take care of the big. And the problem with this world is folks are stepping over top of the little. Nobody's interested in the little. Nobody's pursuing the little. Everybody's trying to get gigantic. So as a result, they don't even get to witness anything when God does it big. Because if God ever does anything big, He'll always do it out of something little. If He's going to kill a big giant, He'll use a little stone. If He's going to feed a multitude, He'll use a few little fish and bread. He'll always go to the little to accomplish what He's going to do big, even in our individual lives. And everybody, as I say, is a striving for the big, the majestic. But the good thing about the little is there's always plenty of it. You can find a lot of little, so if you'll embrace it and relate to it, it'll be there for you. And then God will take care of whatever needs to be big. Hallelujah. And I want to look at this text here. I want to use this thought. A little sinner is much when God's want to is in him. A little sinner, even a little sinner, is much when God's want to is in him. Because what we're going to notice in this text is this little sinner, as the Scripture says he was, he wants what Jesus wants. And then Jesus wants what he wants. And I tell you, if you get to wanting what God wants, and God wants what you want, then some big things can happen. And the question is here this morning, do you want what Jesus wants? If you do, that means He wants what you want. And things are going to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look in this text and we'll notice it. The Bible said in verse number 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. This is going to be His last trip through Jericho. He's been there before. Healed a few people, blind Bartimaeus being one of them. But He's coming back through, and I got a pretty good idea why He's doing that. The Bible said in verse 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus. Who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He's little. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him. For he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. And said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm interested in this little sinner who wants what Jesus wants. If you'll look in our text in verse number 3, the Bible said concerning Zacchaeus, he sought. He sought to see Jesus. I was curious when I noticed in verse number 10 that the Bible said the Son of Man come to seek. And if you'll look at that in its Greek setting, that's the same word. Same word. It has been rendered sought in verse 3 and seek in verse 10. Which tells me that while Zacchaeus sought, at the same time Jesus was seeking.
Amen.
That meant they both wanted the same thing. I like that, don't you? I like that. Then if you'll look down in verse number 4, the Bible said concerning Zacchaeus, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. And look down in verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw. As I was studying these words, I noticed also that the word see in verse number 4 is the word saw in verse number 5. So while he went to see, Jesus saw. So it looks to me like they're both wanting the same thing. He was going to see Jesus, and Jesus came and saw him. What are the chances? I'll tell you what the chances are. When you get to wanting what he wants, and he wants what you want, that's what's going to happen. Look in verse number 5, and we could emphasize this in the beginning all down through the text. The Bible said, and when Jesus came, he looked up, he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Look in verse number 6. The Bible said, and he, Zacchaeus, made haste. Jesus said, I want you to come down. He said, well, I think I want to come down. They both wanted the same thing. Then he said, I must abide at thy house. And Zacchaeus, in verse number 6, said, received him joyfully. Now, let's just amplify that a little bit. What Zacchaeus is wanting is what Jesus wanted, which means what Jesus wanted was what Zacchaeus is wanting. And anytime you get to wanting what he wants what you want. And that's what's going to happen. He wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus wanted to see him. Jesus wanted him to come down out of the tree. He wanted to come down out of the tree. Jesus wanted to go home with him, and he wanted Jesus to come home with him. He wanted, if you read the verses on down there, to get right. Jesus wanted him to get right. He wanted to get saved, and Jesus wanted to save him. I'm glad for the day when his want became my want. One and the same. And let me take it a step further and say that when you want what he wants and he wants what you want, hell can't stop what you both want. Hallelujah. Now, three things that I want to say about this. Oh boy, I love it. I love it. You know, I'll give you these three things, but when I pondered about it, I thought about God wanted a ship. And Noah wanted a ship. And guess what? There was a ship. God wanted an Isaac. Abraham wanted an Isaac. Guess what? There was an Isaac. God wanted to send rain. Elijah wanted him to send rain. Prayed about it. Guess what? There was rain. God wanted Joshua to cross the Jordan. Joshua wanted to cross the Jordan. Guess what? They crossed the Jordan. Woo! It's yet to be seen what can happen when you want what he wants. And he wants what you want. Boy, isn't it amazing to get down on your knees and say, Lord, not my will, thine be done. In my heart, I'm a wanting what you want. And he said, well, I'm a wanting what you want. So we might as well get it together. Hallelujah. Wow. Zacchaeus, first of all, I would amplify, is as the scripture implies, he is a sinner. Now, I understand it was the religious crowd that put that term on him, and nothing will judge you any more than religion will. But I'm not going on what they said. I'm going on what he said in verse number 10. The whole reason why he's there is he's come to seek and to save somebody that's lost. So he's not defending Zacchaeus. He never defends a sinner. He never says, well, you know, he's not as bad as what you think he is. He's a sinner is what he is. In other words, Jesus lets us know that he is lost. He's an Israelite. We know that. But he's lost. He's rich. We know that. But he is lost. He has no physical disabilities as far as we can tell. He is not blind, but he's lost. He's not lame, but he is lost. He is not deaf, but he is lost. He's not sick. There are no listed deficiencies physically as far as this man is concerned. But what I'm telling you is, he is lost. He is lost in spirit. He is lost in soul. He is lost in body. He is lost in time and in danger of being lost in eternity. He's just lost. And the truth of the matter is, man, when man looks at society, man will in category put itself and judge itself on three levels. Society will say, well, you're low class, or you're middle class, or you're high class. Judges everything horizontally. But God doesn't judge anything horizontally. He judges everything vertically. You're either on the left or you're on the right. You're either a sheep or you're a goat. You're either lost. God sees every man, woman, boy, and girl. You're either lost or you are saved. There are no degrees in between. No matter your status in society, no matter your money, no matter your intellect, no matter what position you are as far as high, low, middle class, you're just lost or you're saved. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. You are in Christ or you are out of Christ. It's just that simple. It's not a matter, are you Baptist, are you Methodist, are you Presbyterian, are you whatever it is. You're either saved, you've either been to Calvary, you've either been washed in the blood, or you're not. But it seems as though that this man, Zacchaeus, is in the worst of conditions. He's not only lost, but he's in Jericho. And of course, we realize as Joshua placed the curse upon Jericho, it's a cursed place. It is a very low place in Israel, down near the Dead Sea, the lowest place on earth. It's an out-of-the-way place. It's not a prominent place. He's lost and in the worst of conditions. But I would suggest to you that it's a bad place to be no matter where you're at if you're lost. You can be lost in Los Angeles, and that's bad. You could be lost in Las Vegas, and that's still bad. You could be lost in Stark, Florida, and you ain't no better off than anybody else. You're still lost. You're just lost no matter where you are. It is the worst of conditions, but isn't it amazing how that when Jesus passes by, he can take the worst of conditions and make them the best of conditions. Because the best place on earth to be is where Jesus shows up in your life. And Jesus came to Zacchaeus not by mistake, but ordered by God, because he never took a step out of the will of God. He's coming through this low grade, low class town called Jericho because a somebody lost that he wants to save. Hallelujah. And somebody that wants to be saved who is lost. And if anything will bring Jesus in your direction, that'll bring him to your place. And so the worst of conditions become the best of conditions. Because no matter what the surroundings are, no matter what the details are, no matter the physical size or whatever, good or bad, it's a good place to be when Jesus shows up. And as a 14-year-old boy, you've heard my testimony, after hearing the gospel on three occasions, walking down that little alley between West 46th Street, West 47th Street, guess what? Jesus showed up. I can just about take you within a few feet of the spot. Now, there's no virtue in this. But in my case, I would venture to say that he probably never met anybody else on that spot. And probably in that little old alley right there, in that one little spot, he probably... Now, that's no virtue in it. I mean, if you got saved around this altar, probably he saved some other people around this altar. But, honey, it makes no difference whether it's in an alley or at an altar or wherever it's at. And I've heard folks testify some awful strange places where Jesus showed up to save them. Hallelujah. And they got saved, and it's the dearest spot on earth to their soul. I don't like Cleveland, Ohio. I got out as soon as I graduated. And I've only been back to preach and visit family. But I say to you, the dearest spot on earth is right there in a little old alley that ain't even paved, that nobody else knows anything about except those that live on it, because you didn't drive down through there unless you lived there. But it's a precious spot. Why? Because Jesus showed up in my life at that place. I say to you, he is a sinner. He is lost. But I'm glad Jesus showed up at Jericho. Aren't you glad he showed up? I say to you, even a little sinner as much, when he wants what God wants, when he's got God's want to in him, he is a sinner lost. But I want you to notice with me also, as the scripture tells us plainly, he is small, or he is little. Because the Bible said again, in verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not. For the press, there is a throng, there is a crowd. The density is so great that he can't even see Jesus, because he is little of stature, he is little of body, he is little of nature. He's small, and it is his very being that is hindering him from seeing the one he needs to see. And can I suggest to you that that's true with every man, woman, boy, and girl? It is your very being that is keeping you from seeing the one you need to see. In relationship to his very nature, physically, he is hindered from being able to get to Christ and to see Christ. And again, by our very nature, by our very sinful nature, it has hindered us, it would hinder us and keep us, it would be impossible for you in and of yourself to get to Christ. Because there's too much in you. Instead of blaming everybody else, there's too much in you that would keep you from doing so. He, in relationship to his nature, but also in relationship to his need, spiritually, physically. He cannot get to Christ, and even socially, those outer things, those outer people, those influences upon our lives, those communities in which we've been raised in, those that Satan would use to tempt us and keep us from even thinking about Christ. There's so much in this world, in a physical, social, and spiritual sense, that rises up to blind us as the God of this world blinds and blinds us from seeing the one we need to see. We just can't see. We know, we begin to feel, and we have heard and we sense, but we just can't see him. He was chief, he was rich, but it wasn't enough to get him to Jesus. But I want to say to you that in spite of all of the difficulties and in spite of all the hindrances, you will find this to be true. That when you're ready to come to Christ, he's ready to come to you. Hallelujah. What you will find is what Zacchaeus found in spite of who he was, is that when his heart began to pursue Jesus, Jesus had already been pursuing him. And that when he got to looking, he climbed up that tree and he got to looking down, first thing he saw was he was looking up. Isn't that amazing? How that in spite of everything in this world that ought to took us to hell, that Christ basically sets things up so we can go to heaven. And somebody said, well, who's going to heaven? Everybody that wants to. Everybody that wants what he wants. Because then he'll want what you want. And you can come to Christ. Zacchaeus is wanting to get to Jesus. He's wanting to see Jesus, and all barriers give way before the man that has his mind made up that he wants Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you want to find him, he's not only the way, but he'll make a way in which you can find him. As a matter of fact, what you'll find out is that he has already prepared a way for you to get to him. You say, well, how's that so? Well, I notice that this sinner that is so small and so hindered, and if this world and if his nature has its way, it'll drag him off into hell. But somewhere Jesus set him up for a testimony from somebody. Because if you are saved, God will have already used somebody that he has saved to let you know that he is the Savior. That's how it comes about. And I'll tell you, back up in chapter number 18, he had been through Jericho just a little before, and he'd healed a blind man, and the Bible said it spread abroad. So Zacchaeus is going to find out who he was. And the reason why was is because he had heard a word that had stuck in his heart that said, there's a Jesus, and he heals the sick and the blind, and he saves the sinner. He said, I've got it in my heart somehow. I want to go find out who he is. Yes. Honey, if you want to find out who he is, he's wanting to show you who he is. And if somewhere there's a testimony, aren't you glad for the testimony that set you on course to let you seek the Son of God? Amen. A testimony. Not only was there a testimony for this sinner that was so small, but there was a time. There was a timing. God's Son son passing through Jericho. This would be the last time because he's headed to Calvary. But it'd be just in time for Zacchaeus. Hallelujah. It was going to be at the right place, at the right spot, at the right time, with two of the right people. He said, I'd sure like to see him. And Jesus said, yes, and I'm headed to Calvary. Before I do, I'm going to take a rendezvous down through Jericho, and I'm going to meet a man that wants to meet me. Hallelujah. God had set him up. If you're saved, I'm going to tell you what happened. He set you up that you could meet his son. He set you up so you could desire his son. But I'll tell you something else that really got me as I read this text. For this little old sinner that was so small, not only did he set him up a testimony, not only did he set him up a time, but he gave him a tree. Woo! Here's a tree. If you read about that sycamore tree, it's just a small tree. Thank God this is a tree that was to be appropriate. This is a tree that was a place there. It was God Almighty who had that tree planted there. And he said to him, son, if you want to see me, head to the tree. And he headed to the tree. And from the tree got a good glimpse of who Jesus was. I'm glad as a 14-year-old boy, there was a tree close by. It was a tree called Calvary. And I got to see the Son of God as to who he was, the clearest I could ever see him from the view of the tree. And aren't you glad he puts a tree beside everybody that wants to see him? He said, I'll make a way for you and me to get together. Now, I couldn't have made that way. No way I could have made that way. You know, that little old small tree that God had planted right there just seemed to be an invitation to him. Come on up here, son. Come on up here. Come on, isn't that what that tree is all about? Come on, come on. If you want to see me, come to this tree. And he came to the tree and he saw the Son of God. You know what's amazing? After you get saved, as you look back over your life when you were lost, what you realize is he'd been a saving you before he saved you to get you to where he could save you. Is that not true in all of our lives? He set all of these things up. He was a saving you before he saved you because he wanted to get you to where he could save you. And it was going to be just on time. Just on time. You say, well, when does he save? God only ever saves on one day. Did you know that? On one day. You say, well, what is that? He said today, this day. When is the day of salvation? What's the scripture say? Today. As a matter of fact, you wasn't saved on the same day that I saved on. You're not saved. You say, is that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? No, it's today. There was a day that was today when I met him and he met me. And salvation took place. Hallelujah. What did he say to the thief on the cross? The thief said, I want to go with you to paradise. Will you remember? He said, no, we'll do that today. And so I say to you that a little sinner as much when what God's want to is in him. He's a sinner, he's lost, but Jesus shows up. He's small and he's little, but God's Son prepares a way. But then it ends up, as in verse number 10 says, but you can see it before you get to verse number 10. Man, salvation is so mysterious, you never just know when, if you're looking at somebody else, you never know when it happens. Had an old lady tell me, she said, preacher, you know how fast salvation is? I said, how fast? She said, when I was in grade school, they had a protracted meeting. Tent meeting and said all the school would be taken over there in the mornings within walking distance, but you had to walk across a log that went across a creek. And she said, I got over there and said, the first morning I got under conviction, said, I found out I was lost. We went back to school and said, man, I didn't sleep none that night. Next morning, Went back over there and heard him preach and said, I was even more lost than I was the day before. And said that went on for 3 days. And she said, I was just sure I was going to step into hell. And said that morning, they got us all together to go across that log and head to the protracted camp meeting. She said, here's how quick salvation happened. She said, when I stepped on that log, if I'd have died, I felt like I'd have went to hell. But she said, when I stepped off that log, I felt like if I'd have died and went to heaven. She said, somewhere between a 6-foot log, I think it was 6-foot log, God showed up! Hallelujah. I'm glad that He's able to bring us to that place of salvation. He's saved. Hallelujah. He's saved. It is a great salvation that takes place here. You say, well, what do you mean great? Well, as I began to ponder this, I realized that in this salvation, God saved everything about Him. He touched everything about Him. You have to understand that. He touched His hands because He climbed a tree. He touched His feet because He made haste and came down out of the tree. He touched His eyes because that's what He saw Him with. He touched His heart because He wanted what Jesus wanted. He seemed to touch His very life, His very being, and even His family. As He said, this day is salvation come to this house. Seemed like when He saved him, He just saved him all over. But ain't that salvation? It just saves you all over. So that there's no question and no doubt about Zacchaeus, the little sinner, that he got a great salvation. But hey, children, there ain't but one kind of salvation. There ain't no medium-range salvation. There ain't no little salvation. If you get saved, it's a great salvation. I mean, it's a salvation that is all the way a great salvation. And over in Tennessee, folks was telling me about, never been outside of the county, and they invited him to go out west, and they took him first place. He volunteered to go, and they took him to the Grand Canyon. They said he'd come up there, and he looked into that Grand Canyon a mile deep and so many miles across and a couple of hundred miles in both directions, and said he just come up there and got as close as he could and looked down. And then he looked down and he looked this way and looked that way. And he milked his chin as an old country farmer would do. And he said, boys, something big happened here. Well, I want to tell you, I didn't realize the full degree. I kind of sensed it as a 14-year-old boy because I didn't have no religion, didn't have no teaching. All I'd been taught had heard the gospel. Said He loved me and died for me. I was a sinner. I need to be saved. That's all I knew the day He showed up. But, honey, I'm going to tell you, I was milking my chin. I thought, boys, I believe something big has taken place. There was a peace that passeth understanding. I didn't know anything about it. There was a joy unspeakable, full of glory, and I hadn't known anything about it. I went to bed, I'm going to tell you, more calm than a baby. Felt like the world had lifted off a 14-year-old boy, and I didn't know nothing about that. All I knew was that He saved me. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, 47 years later, I want to make the announcement, it was a big salvation. It was a great salvation. And honey, if what you got ain't enough to turn your world upside down, you ain't got the great salvation, and that's the only kind He'll give. Hallelujah. He even touched his pocketbook, and I'll tell you, if you can touch a religious man's pocketbook and billfold, it's pretty well known he's got a great salvation. A big work, a big salvation came out. Well, I'll tell you something else, I got to thinking about a big song come out of this. That probably more young'uns in church and Sunday school know Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And the Lord said, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. Somehow it goes like this. For I'm going to your house to stay. Hallelujah! Even in this this hour, we're talking about a little old sinner who got to wanting what Jesus wanted because Jesus wanted to save him and he wanted to be saved. He wanted Jesus to come into Jericho. Jesus wanted to go into Jericho. He wanted to see Jesus and Jesus wanted to see him. Jesus wanted him to come down out of the tree. He wanted to come down out of the tree. Jesus wanted to go to this house. He wanted him to come to his house. He wanted to get right. Jesus wanted to get right. He wanted to get saved. Jesus wanted to save him. Sound like they both wanted the same thing. And that's what happened.
Glory to God.
I can remember walking down that alley when the Lord came to me. In essence, that's about what he said. I want to save you. With no argument at all, I said, you know what? I want to be saved. Guess what happened? I got saved. Then one day he said to me, I'm talking about when you want what he wants and he wants what you want, big things can happen. One day he came to me, he said, I want you to preach. I said, well, I was thinking I want to preach. He said, okay, get at it. That's how it was. That's how it was.
Yeah.
He wanted it, and then I wanted it. Huh? My little bride that's not here that y'all know so well, and you'd rather have her here than me. I know that. So we'll just move on. Hurry on the word of the Lord. He told me one day before I ever even physically seen her, that's yours. I want you to marry her. I looked at that picture. Then I went to where she was and looked at her, and I said, well, I think I want to. And guess what? We did. He said, no, I want a boat. Noah said, well, I'd like to have one too. He said, well, get to working. He said, Abraham, I want Isaac. He said, well, I'd really like to have one too. He said, well, we'll get us one. Huh? He said, Elijah, I'm thinking about sending some rain. He said, well, I sure like to have some. He said, well, let's do that. Somebody said the Christian life is so... No, it ain't. Just want what he wants. He'll want what you want. Huh? And when you both want the same thing, as I said, hell can't stop it. He'll bring it to pass. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee. Now, I didn't say that. I like what David said in Psalm 27, 8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, I will seek. It sounds to me like they want the same thing. Now, someone would say, and I close with this, someone would say, I'll give you a little illustration, but someone would say, well, how come Jesus to go all the way to Jericho for Zacchaeus? What was he wanting him to? How come Zacchaeus gets Jesus to go home with him? Because he wanted him to. So how come Zacchaeus gets saved? Because he wanted to. You know the simple reason why the thief on the cross went to paradise? Does anybody know? He wanted to. If you don't go to heaven, you know why? You don't want to. Huh? Boy, ain't that so simple? Zacchaeus wanted to. I went to visit a dear lady that me and the family, when the kids were small, they called us. We did not know her personally, but her husband had passed away. She was up in age. They said, "Will you come and sing at the funeral?" And I said, "Well, we'd be glad to." So we went and sang, and my heart was just touched by the sadness on this dear lady's face. And then I found out about her and who she was, and she'd lived a pretty rough life, pretty stern, lost, and a sinner, and wouldn't lie about it. And I told my wife, I said, "Well, I'm going to go by there." A couple of days later, I said, "I'm not going to go that by to force her into some kind of, you know, conversion or something, but I just want to sit with her." And that was my heart. I went in, sat down, and she was there, sitting in a recliner. I was sitting on the couch, talking small talk, and a little bit, she said, "Well, now, where are you from?" And I just started telling her where I was born and raised in West Virginia, and it just turned into my testimony. She said, "Well, how'd you get here?" Well, I just brought her all the way through. Told her about how I'd heard the gospel and how the Holy Ghost convicted my heart and how I got saved. And that old lady, she was sitting in that recliner and caught me by surprise. She leaned over and looked at me just like that. She said, "That is exactly what I want." I said, "Ma'am?" She said, "That is exactly what I want." I said, "You mean to tell me you'd like to trust Christ?" She said, "That is exactly what I want." Three times. I said, "Well, will you bow and ask the Lord to save you?" She said, "I sure will." She got out of that, got down and prayed, and God gave her exactly what she wanted. She come up out of there saved. She'd come to the house of God to every service. She'd grab me and hug me and say, "Preacher, oh, I don't know where I'd be if you hadn't come by that day and told me." I went by a few weeks later. I'd go by often to visit with her. And she had a boom box, you know, where they play that loud music. Well, all of her kids lived around her. They just put up trailers and stuff on the land around her. And, of course, they as mean as she was. She raised them that way. But she, she put that boom box in the window and turned it out. Instead of in. I got out of my car, man. I couldn't even hear myself think. "Amazing grace." It's thundering out over that valley. And then a preacher come on and preach after that. One of them good stations. I said, "Sister, what are you doing?" She said, "All my kids are lost and said they won't come to church, so I'm going to preach to them." And she's stern enough that they didn't come and ask her to tell it turned down. Wouldn't be none of that. She wasn't that saved. She'd whip them again. But I can't tell you how many kids, her kids, rough. Her oldest son, as mean a man as I'd ever come in contact with, had pondered suicide the day I got there. Got gloriously saved after she did. And then her daughter, I saw one just the other week up there preaching. Zacchaeus, even a little sinner's much when he's got God's want to in him. Do you want for your life what he wants? If you do, if you want what he wants what you want. And things can happen.